This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And on the line with me is our old friend Joe Madison, host of the Joe Madison Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on SiriusXM channel 126. Civil and human rights activist. JoeMadison.com is his website. You can tweet him at Madison SiriusXM. And Joe, welcome back to the show.
Always good. And we're keeping an eye on your boat that you left here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to be putting that up for sale here pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, that area has so changed. But
it really is.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you with us on the show. You had on your program on SiriusXM, I believe it was yesterday, maybe the day before, Senator Harris. And you played a clip of Mitch McConnell being asked if he would support anti-lynching legislation. And he said, well, I thought we did that years ago. Frankly, I thought we did that years ago.
Well, apparently we didn't. Yourself. You're not by yourself. Let me tell you how that came up. You know, there's this this amazing, I don't even want to call it a museum, but that's what it is, memorial. To 4,000 people who were lynched in America and down in Alabama, I think just outside of Montgomery. But they opened the museum down there with an array of political celebrities and elected officials and discussion on criminal justice and modern day lynching. And the natural extension of those discussions is what are we doing about modern day lynching? And I read a piece that Reverend Jesse Jackson wrote, and in part it said there had been 200 attempts, Tom, to pass federal anti-lynching laws. 200 attempts, and all 200 attempts failed in the United States Congress. Now, you had the Senate that apologized for lynching, but they never passed a federal anti-lynching law. And so I shared it with my audience, and then I asked people to start calling and lobbying, like you do all the time, get involved. This is a participatory exercise, civic engagement, and people were doing that. Well, what happened was Congressman Danny Davis and Bobby Rush, I think, yeah, from Chicago, started outlining federal legislation, and then one of our POTUS contributors, Knox, right? Olivier Knox, who's brand new here at Sirius, he said, you know, I'm interviewing the Senate Majority Leader. Is there any question that you would want to ask? And I said, ask him about supporting or passing a federal anti-lynching law. He did. And the response, just like, wow, he said, you know, I thought we did that back in the Johnson years.
Right.
And by the way, I'll support it. Well, the next day, I had Senator Kamala Harris on from California, and I played the McConnell's response for her, and she said, wow, hold on to that recording. And then a couple of days later, she then announced that she was going to introduce federal anti-lynching laws. So that's what that's sort of the background of how all of this came about.
Is there a need for it now?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, let me tell you, when I brought it up on my show, there had been two African-American men who had been lynched in Oklahoma, and their bodies were dismembered.
Recently?
Yeah. Yes. I mean,
holy,
we're talking about a month ago.
You know, oh my
this
God!
Is part of the problem. You know, the Trump stuff. I mean,
his stories aren't even getting out there.
Air out of everything, and people don't seem to pay attention. But we've had, you know, if you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center website, they keep track of all of these lynchings that take place. See, people think when they see, when they think lynching, they immediately think it has to be with a rope and somebody's is hanging.
Right.
You know, look, lynching takes place in many forms, and that's why when they opened up the museum in Alabama, that's why they had a series of workshops to talk about different types of lynching. You know, when you get police officers that are indiscriminately shooting people, you know, guy reaches in to get his identification, his kids are in the back seat, he gets shot, you know, like the situation in Minneapolis, excuse me, that's lynching.
So you're suggesting that, thank you for that, so you're suggesting that basically racially motivated murders should be a federal crime. It seems like it already, again, I'm all in favor of anti-lynching legislation, but doesn't that fall into the hate crime legislation?
Well, it falls into hate crime, but at the same time, as Danny Davis pointed out, it doesn't end there. It's,
uh-huh.
Look, the lynching, hate crime is the motivation.
Right.
Lynching is the act.
Right. Okay, I got it.
You want to prevent the act.
So
you want to make the act a criminal offense.
Yeah, and bring the FBI in to investigate it. I mean, rather than just depend on the local cops who might have been involved.
You know, and so people think lynching is something that we're beyond that. Well, we're not beyond it, and that's why. When they did that, when they held those conferences down there at that museum, I tell you, a perfect person to interview is Cheryl Eiffel, who has written a book on lynching and how it still goes on today. But people have to understand, they can't just think it's just a rope, a tree, and the old 18th and 19th. 20th century acts, it takes different forms.
Right.
And as I pointed out, the story that got by a lot of people, the Oklahoma, I'll give you another case of modern day lynching. You remember James Byrd?
Mm-hmm.
In Texas?
Yep.
Remember?
Dragged by a truck,
down
was it?
The street?
Yeah.
And walking down a road and they drug him in back of a pickup truck.
Yep.
To the point where his body was totally mutilated. That's lynching.
Yep. Yes. Amen. So I absolutely agree. And the number for Congress is switchboard. If you want to call and lobby on behalf of federal anti-lynching legislation is 202-225-3121. Joe, we just have a couple of minutes. I wanted to ask you also about your thoughts on the defense by Sanders, Huckabee Sanders, and Trump. And Jeff Sessions using that quote from, I think it's Romans 14, that historically was used to justify slavery, that you should simply follow the law. Now they're using that to justify tearing children. Yesterday or a couple days ago, a nursing baby from her mother's side. I mean,
we're a better country. We're a better country, and you said it best. You just educated your audience. You said it best. That was the very same thing that Southern religious leaders used to justify slavery in this country over 200 years, and it divided the church then. As I've always said, what we're dealing with today is not Jim Crow, but James Crow Esquire. It's nothing more than a sophisticated form of the same old thing. And we talked about it this morning. I got to tell you, Tom, it's a sad day when the Attorney General can use something that was used to justify slavery. But that just tells you where Jefferson, Beauregard, Sessions' head is. And we're a better country. We're just a better country than that. And yes, I know, you know, somebody said today, well, what's the number? How many people are we going to allow in here? I said, I don't know what the number is, but I can tell you it can't be zero.
Yeah, and we need to have a rational policy, and we don't.
Of course,
it's,
we do.
It's crazy.
Of course, we do.
The great Joe
but you
Madison.
You've got to have rational people to write the policy.
There you go. JoeMadison.com, Madison, at Madison Sirius XM. Hang on just a second here.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And you can hear Joe Madison's show on Sirius XM Channel 126, weekdays, 6 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Good talking with you. We'll be back. And welcome back. Let's see here. Oh, this is interesting. Richard in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind today? Do I have Richard in Little Rock? Or do I have a corrupted database? I think.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm guessing you're not Richard, okay. though.
I'm not Richard. I'm David from Michigan.
Okay. David, go for it. You're on the air.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, I had just a quick question. So, listen, if Trump succeeds at getting rid of Mueller and Rosenstein, yeah, we're going to have some big marches in the streets. That's great. But what happens to the investigation? How, does it move forward? Does it go, or does it get put on the shelf? Or where do we go from there?
My guess is that there are parts of the investigation that simply can't be stopped, where there have already been indictments, you know, where prosecutions are ongoing. I don't know the legal status of sealed indictments. There are a number of those that are sitting that have not been executed. So as far as I know, that goes forward, with or without Mr. Mueller. With regard to other pieces of the investigation, you know, what Michael Cohen was up to or what Trump did here or there, there's still a lot that states' attorneys general can do to go after this guy. And we're seeing that right now with the new attorney general in the state of New York, who is going after the Trump Foundation. Which the Trump crime family has been running as a slush fund, as a piggy bank, basically for themselves and their hotels, and you know against the nonprofit laws of the state of New York as well as the federal nonprofit laws. I mean, the IRS really should have pulled their nonprofit status a long time ago. So I think that
yes.
they're.
So
go ahead.
At the state level, I understand that going forward at the state level, but what I'm concerned about is if he succeeds at getting rid of these guys, he's going to replace them with his own loyal stooges, and they're going to shutter the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that an unfounded fear?
No, it's not an unfounded fear. It would be a coup, essentially. It would be a disruption in government. It would be on the order of the purges that Hitler did in the first year of his administration, at the beginning of the Hitler era in 1933. Not to too badly violate Godwin's law, but I am more and more seeing these Hitler comparisons, these parallels. Mark Pocan talking about it being a cult, the Republican Party having flipped from a political party into a cult. That's exactly what happened with the National Socialists. They went from being a political party in 1932 to being a cult in 1933, a dear leader cult. And if that happens, if Trump does this, and if the Republicans at that point don't do what they did when Richard Nixon was trying to corrupt an investigation and stand up. In fact, keep in mind, one of the impeachment charges against Nixon was that he tried to impede the investigation into himself, obstruction of justice. So and the Republicans supported that. If Republicans fail to support an effort to stop Donald Trump from doing that, then we're in full-blown cult territory, and our republic is in deep danger and at great risk. So we'll see. We'll see how this plays out, Richard. But that's what I know about it, and those are my thoughts on where it might go. It is 20 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Anything Goes Friday in the Tom Hartman Program. We've already covered a lot of news. Paul Manafort remanded to jail. We'll see how that plays out. We'll see if he flips and starts cooperating or if he is, at this point, is Trump going to pardon him? He could pardon him proactively and just shut down all the prosecution of him I'm not sure it would stop the investigation, but he could prevent Manafort. He could get Manafort out of jail and prevent him from going to any, going to jail in the future. And if he did that, what would happen? I think that we would be looking at a major constitutional crisis. I think we would be looking at an event if Trump pardoned Manafort now, or any of these guys, frankly, or even more concerning, if Trump were to fire Mueller and Rod Rosenstein, or fire Rod Rosenstein and put into place a toady who would then fire Mueller. Much like Robert Bork did, firing Archibald Cox, if I'm remembering correctly, in 1973, was it, or early 74, in the whole Watergate scandal, which is the thing that ended the Nixon presidency. But Nixon didn't have Fox so-called news. Nixon didn't have a massive right-wing media infrastructure in the United States. Nixon didn't have Sinclair Broadcasting. Nixon didn't have a media universe that has captured somewhere between 20 and 35% of the American population and kept them in a fact-free zone, in a bubble, in a non-real bubble. Nixon didn't have any of that. And so even the Republicans had to turn against Nixon. Now, if Trump really, if he does this, if he fires these guys, if he tries to shut down the investigation into himself, which, remember, one of the five articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon was obstruction of justice. He tried to block Archibald Cox's investigation of him. He tried numerous ways to block it, and that was one of the impeachment charges. If Trump tries to shut this down, if he engages in the obstruction of justice, then I think, and gets away with it, which I think, frankly, is likely right now, because the Republican Party is turning into, as Congressman Pocan pointed out, is turning into something that more resembles a cult than a political party. And if that happens, then we have taken a massive step forward down the road to the events that have happened in other countries where they have very, very rapidly lost their democracies. This would be, very analogous to what Adolf Hitler did in 1933, somewhat analogous to what both Mussolini and Franco did, Pinochet. The list is a long one, but basically functioning democracies that were turned into autocratic regimes where the existing political infrastructure, the existing political parties were twisted and shaped through both carrot and stick, through offering some politicians, yes, I'll support your reelection, and the very wealthy people in our country will keep you going. I've shared with you before, over the last year, I've been reading Fritz Thyssen's book, I Paid for Hitler. And he was, this massive German industrialist. And he documents how in the first year or so of the Hitler administration, he was helping out Adolf Hitler and helping out all his buddies. I mean, he was a wealthy industrialist, and Hitler was making bringing the economy back and making things again in Germany. They were recovering from World War I, building the Autobahn, building the Volkswagen. The Volkswagen needed lots and lots of steel, and Thyssen was running the major steel mill in Germany. And he was on board, and so you had the carrot of promising people things. Yes, Paul Ryan, do your little dance for me, and my billionaire buddies will make sure that you get a really, really cushy job when you retire. And we've seen this happen over and over and over again, and particularly Republicans when they retire from Congress, they get these multi-million-dollar jobs because that's who they were serving when they were in Congress. Whereas when Democrats retire from Congress, look at Dennis Kucinich, for example, trying to get back into politics, running for governor. But, no millionaire or billionaire him, and he doesn't have them supporting him. Republicans, it's easy. So there's the carrot. The stick, of course, is we'll kick you out of the club. Bob Corker is being kicked out of the club. Jeff Flake has been kicked out of the club. I mean, it's just that's what the Republicans will do if they have gone full-blown cult. If they're no longer a political party, if they no longer respect the rule of law, if they no longer respect American both political and legal traditions, and they go full-blown cult, and Trump pulls this thing off and gets away with it, this is not the United States of America anymore. It will have fundamentally changed.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's Anything Goes Friday. Back with your calls after the break. Taking back the mainstream media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Anything Goes Friday. Kitty in Boca Raton, Florida, you are on the air.
Hi, Tom. I wanted to say that I see it as a problem with Democratic Party is that we're letting the Republican Party define who we are. The message is that Democrats want open borders. And I'm a Democrat, and I don't want open borders.
I know of no Democrat anywhere who has ever said such a thing. This is another lie, just like Trump lying this morning that it's a Democratic law that requires the separation of children from their parents at the border. There is no such law to begin with, and it was never passed by Democrats. This man just lies through his teeth. Forgive my interruption, Kitty.
It's the messaging. And it's like what I've watched over all these years is that the Republicans will take an issue and claim it as their own as if we don't care. You know, right. It was always the gays, God, guns, divisive issues, like Democrats don't own guns. It's just that the thing is with this immigration, we need to reclaim it. I don't want open borders. We just have a difference of opinion on how that gets done. They think putting up a wall will solve the problem. I personally sit there and I think about this problem and I start saying, why are these people coming here? Well, they're fleeing their countries. Why are they fleeing their countries? Because of drug cartels. Why are the drug cartels so powerful? Because marijuana is illegal here. And we, for most of the part, or drugs are criminalized. Decriminalizing drugs and legalizing marijuana, right there, that helps illegal immigration. Because if those countries become a little safer, then those people may not want to flee them so much. So it's like we have to take these issues back, but we have to give a better solution or more solutions than to just put up a wall and ship them all back. That's not a real solution. That make them feel good.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Kitty. Thank you. Very, very well said. Absolutely agree. And let me add, by the way, this strategy that is being used right now by Donald Trump himself personally of lying. I'm just coming right out in line, right? There literally is no law that says the children have to be separated from their parents at the border when they're applying for asylum or if they're simply entering the country, illegally, without permission, looking for work. Although most of these cases, these are asylum seekers who actually present themselves to ICE saying, I'm here to seek refuge. I'm fleeing death in my own country. And both international law and U.S. law require us to seriously consider those applications. And Jeff Sessions, in fact, just changed the rules around that so that, it used to be if you were fleeing gang violence in South America, we could grant you asylum. No longer. If you were fleeing domestic violence, if you're being stalked by a crazed lover or husband, you could flee to the United States. No longer. And the hundreds of thousands of people who are here with asylum applications based on the fact that if they get sent back to El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Honduras, they will be put to death by the local gangs. Those people are going to be deported now as a consequence of this. But these are lies, right? The Trump has said that the Democrats passed these laws, that he hates it, that it's being done, but he has. And I would like to, and this is how the Democrats should be responding, is the way that the Democrats responded back. It's the way that Franklin Roosevelt responded back in the day. And here is what Franklin Roosevelt said to the people of the United States. I don't know the year. This was later in his administration. I think it would have been maybe even during World War II in the 1940s. But this is what Franklin Roosevelt said. That the Republican Party was starting to do, this is Trump's entire strategy. This is what FDR said the Republican Party was starting to do and where they got the idea.
Remember, a number of years ago, there was a book, Mein Kampf, written by Hitler himself. The technique was all set out in Hitler's book, and it was copied by the aggressors of Italy and Japan. According to that technique, you should never use a small falsehood. Always a big one, for its very fantastic nature would make it more credible. If only you keep repeating it over and over and over again.
And now, much like Hitler had in 1933 when he had closed down the press, basically, he'd shut down all the opposition press. We have, and so he had basically a super friendly media environment in which he operated. Very much so, that's the case for Donald Trump with the right-wing media infrastructure that has been built by a group of billionaires over the years. Tim in Mesick, Michigan. Hey, Tim, what's on your mind? Tim? Tim is listening
Hello?
To us. Yeah, you're on the air, Tim.
Oh, hi, Tom. I was hoping to get on with Congressman Pocan.
I'm sorry, he's long gone.
I know, but it was a pleasure seeing Joe Madison again. I haven't seen him in ages.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, Tim?
Well, you know, as far as the immigration and these so-called Christians, and I'm an atheist, but it was actually, you know, reading the New Testament literally over 100 times, and I might be underestimating it, but it was Jesus that turned me into a socialist. And all I got to say to these so-called Christians, Jesus was the original anchor baby.
Yeah.
He was. Mary and Joseph fled Egypt so he could be born in, you know, what was it, Jerusalem or Judea or,
yeah.
or something?
Yeah, I don't know that that was, I mean, you know, who knows? We don't even know if the story is actually accurate.
Well, that's what it says.
There was a
there was a
census and a tax at that time, and they had to go back to I think Joseph or maybe it was Mary's father's town, which was Nazareth. But
Nazareth, yeah. Well, he was born in Bethlehem.
Or Bethlehem, yeah.
And you know, so it's like that's an anchor baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Jesus was an anchor baby, and also when Jesus was speaking, all these little kids came to flock over to him, and the apostles were like, hey, get away, you little brats, you know. And Jesus said, no, bring those children to me. Now these, I almost swore, these damn hypocrites that call themselves Christians are locking kids up, separating. Jesus said, bring the kids to me.
Yeah, he also said that anybody who violates one of these children would think it a good thing if he had a rope and a rock wrapped around his neck and be thrown into the ocean, that basically drowning is too good for them. I mean, it's serious stuff. Mark in Albuquerque, thank you for the call. Mark in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Mark.
Can you hear me, Tom?
Just fine.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I kind of grew up during the end of the Vietnam War, and I noticed how the pictures of the coffins and all the carnage going on there helped motivate the anti-war movement.
Yes.
And then
and the draft.
Recently how and the draft. And then recently how the videos
Mark?
Of, can you hear me?
Yeah, you faded out there for a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the videos of, you know, the police brutalities that have been going on. And so the comparison I'm making is I worked in the schools 30 years. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm listening.
Yeah. So I worked in the schools. I just retired 30 years in the schools. And one thing, I worked in the front office, a teacher, a counselor. One thing I learned is that there's videos of everything that's happening in the hallways and the cafeteria. So I'm wondering if they're suppressing these videos of the school shootings, and if they weren't.
Yes, they are.
They have been. So you've read? Okay.
They have been all along. I mean, the policy of the media in the United States, and I think it's a mistake, by the way, and it's not the policy of the media in many other, maybe even most other countries, is to never show a person dying or dead. So, you know, you don't show somebody being shot, you don't show them dead, you cut just at the moment that the trigger is about to be pulled, and then you tell the story. And so what that means is that when the school shooters, and these school shootings are well documented, many of these school shooters are caught on school security cameras, that footage is, you know, exists, but it gets locked down immediately. And then, of course, they bring in the forensic, the police bring in the forensic photographers who take, you know, detailed photos of these crime scenes. I personally believe that if those pictures got out, this is what happened in 1998 in Tasmania, the island just south of Australia that is part of Australia. And in Port Arthur, Tasmania, there was a massacre. A guy went nuts with a gun and killed 30-some-odd people. And the pictures of the exploded bodies were shown in the Australian newspapers. You know, the insane damage. Now the last few killings of children with these AR-15s, these bullets are going so fast and have such velocity and mass that they literally just like shatter limbs, tear bodies apart, tear huge holes in people, dismember people. They're literally body parts all over the floor in Newtown and in Parkville. And the Australian press showed those pictures back in 1998, and within 1 year they had nationwide gun control and a huge gun buyback program nationwide. If we were to simply show those pictures here in the United States, I think the exact same thing would happen. But our press will not show those pictures. So I'm with you. We need to be talking about this, and we need to be showing these pictures. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be back with more of your calls on Anything Goes Friday right after this. And welcome back. No, it's not running in background. I'm gonna try and bring this up one more time.
Go to process tree if that doesn't work.
Go to what?
Process tree.
Process tree. Okay. All right. Let's see here if we can make these telephones work. Josh in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. Josh, you are on the air.
Hi. I have a question.
Sure.
My question is that I don't know if these are connected or not. I'm just kind of have a theory here. Mm-hmm. Do you think that TV shows like The Blacklist and Scandal and these other big government shows, plus the fact that the media doesn't talk about the fact that we have a large secretive government like the NSA and the CIA and stuff, do you think that those things, combined with the media not talking about it, make people desensitized or unaware of the fact that there is a big government and that we need to do something to stop it?
You know, the,
I'm not really related, but what I'm saying is that there could be that it just makes people like desensitized and think like, oh, this is normal.
It may well be, Josh. I haven't, you know, I've watched Scandal. I haven't seen any of the other shows that you're talking about. And I think that people can tell the difference between fiction and reality, but maybe not. I mean, you know, it's TV shows do influence things. Certainly, techniques for policing over the years have been influenced by cop shows as much as they have reflected, you know, the reality of being a police officer or, you know, the way cops behave. And so it may well be the same thing with government. My concern, Josh, is that there are two issues that the right loves to conflate that have to do with, quote, big government. One is government spying on us, which is what Ed Snowden revealed to the world. And the other is government supporting us, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, programs like that, food stamps, basic programs where the general welfare, you know, the general welfare clause of the Constitution is employed to do things on behalf of people. And so, you know, conservatives would say, oh, you know, this horrible big government is spying on us, and so we've got to reduce the size of government. And then people go, yeah, sounds like a plan. And then, you know, how do they reduce the size of government? They privatize Social Security. And they don't care about government spying on us. And I think these are two very separate issues, and they need to be separated. They need to be, you know, deconflated. Because the reality is that there's nothing wrong with a big government if it is serving the interests of the people. In fact, that's how the vast majority of functioning democracies around the world work. They have government, their government sector is larger than ours, in large part because they all have, you know, national health care systems. But they have bigger government than we do. But there is, as you correctly point out, Josh, you know, a very serious problem of government spying on people, government harassing people. You know, the way that the FBI treated Martin Luther King, the way that the prosecutors in Washington D.C. right now are going after people who simply protested Trump's inauguration. You know, the level of activity that's being used and spying on people essentially to prevent protest. All of these things are very problematic. And we need to take very seriously. And I would say it's not, is government too big or too small? I'd say, you know, what is the appropriate function of government? And what, and the appropriate function of government is not to spy on people who are challenging, you know, what government is doing. We'll be back. It's coming up on 10 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. We do not have Luke anywhere? Okay. Well, Luke Vargas from Talk Media News hopefully will be calling in from Singapore. We'll see. We'll see where it goes with that. But George in Chicago. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
One quick point before I get to my question.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon's attorney, Herbert Kalmbach, just died at the age of 95.
Oh, my.
And I guess it was yesterday. And interestingly enough, along the lines of the so-called deep state, just like Donald Trump was educated by Roy Cohn, who was the hatchet man for Joseph McCarthy, the gentleman who ran the inauguration for Trump, whose name unfortunately has slipped my mind, when he graduated from law school, his first legal job was with Herbert Kalmbach at his law firm. So it reaches that far back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, the Republican Party, Richard Nixon was mobbed up. He was corrupt. He accepted bribes from the milk lobby that we know of. He accepted a bribe from Jimmy Hoffa, from the mob. You know, he was, you know, a corrupt president, you know, and I think that that, and he was, and this started when he was Eisenhower's vice president. And Eisenhower strongly disliked and did not trust Richard Nixon. The problem was, in the last year of his presidency, Eisenhower had a heart attack, and Nixon basically kind of quietly ran the government for a while. But Nixon, I would say that that was the beginning of the really genuinely serious corruption of the Republican Party. And it's a real shame. Thanks for that historical note. I appreciate it. Dave in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hey, Dave, what's up?
How are you doing, Tom?
Good.
I wanted to call and comment about what Joe Madison was saying about lynchings. I don't see the equivalency between the lynchings, the historical lynchings that we all know about in the South, and the lynchings that are taking place today. One, the ones in the South were perpetrated by a race of people. There were always 50, 100 people stand below those trees.
Not always. Sometimes it was two guys.
Okay, then if there were only two,
or
one of them would have been more than happy to slap the horse or drive the wagon out from under those people. Where today, these are single individuals that are perpetrating these lynchings. At least that's the way Joe referred to it.
If we're defining lynching as a racially motivated killing, and I think that's a very reasonable definition. Particularly
sure.
One that is done in a high-profile way to terrorize other people of that race. And this is something that's been directed specifically at black people, by and large, at African-Americans, for years and years and years, although it has been applied to other races, and there was lynching of Chinese in the 1880s, around the time of the passage of the Chinese Exclusion Act. But if you define lynching as racially motivated murders, then I think that, what happened in Oklahoma and many of these other things that Joe was talking about actually are lynchings. So, Dave, I respectfully disagree with you. Patrick in Lakewood, California. Hey, Patrick, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Longtime listener and actually second time I've called in. I'm curious, back with the immigration and the kids being held in prison, where is the ACLU in all of this?
The ACLU has filed numerous lawsuits on this, Patrick, already. It's just that it gets no press. You can find it. You can find the information over at their website, ACLU.org.
Have they been able to get it into court, into a federal court, to be looked at?
To the best of my knowledge, no. But that's a good question. We should get somebody from the ACLU on the show and find out what they're doing, because they're one of our preeminent organizations. Although historically, the ACLU's principal thing has been the First Amendment. They still are. These are civil liberties. So I think your point is well taken, Patrick. Thank you very much for calling and making it. Hector in Chicago. Hey, Hector, what's on your mind?
Hi. I wanted to ask about if Congress were to be controlled by the Democrats, could they even, what exactly can they do to either stop Trump's future endeavors and going back in reverse and stuff? And then the other thing is, since there's a toxic epidemic in America, and I call it a toxic atrocity, since people don't know the side effects, which are stupidity, sickness, reversal of healing, worse for kids, which...
Hector, we got 30 seconds till we're hitting the top of the hour. Okay. Let me just respond to your
crystal meth add on damaging and changing your DNA and genes and about 8 more diseases, give or take. Now, with all that in mind, science is run by the rich, so they're the only ones who can invent a toxic detector so we can protect our children.
Yeah. Hector, I'm going to cut you off because I do want to answer your question, and I've got 10 seconds to do it. The simple reality is that, Donald Trump and the Republicans, the Republican Party, this is my rant just a few minutes ago, is sliding into essentially cult status. And if that happens, we are in deep, deep, deep trouble. And we'll see how it plays out. We're hitting the top of the hour. It is Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman program. Next hour, your calls, my thoughts, and more of the news of the day. I just read Justice Sotomayor's dissent in Husted versus Randolph. I got to share that with you right after the break.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.